is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Sharmini, if I say the name Schrödinger to you, what is the first thing that pops into your head?
A dead cat. Oh, or an alive cat. One of the two.
Yeah, well, either way, that is the answer that I'm looking for. This dead slash alive cat is, in fact, a famous thought experiment Erwin Schrödinger used to draw attention to the bizarre implications of quantum mechanics. But this thought experiment was just the tip of the Schrödinger quantum iceberg. There's also the Schrödinger equation, which describes the fundamental behavior of quantum systems. And in 1933, Schrödinger received a Nobel Prize for his work on quantum mechanics. But Schrödinger was also interested in life. And no, not just the life of cats. 10 years after winning the Nobel Prize, and 75 years ago this year, Schrödinger delivered a lecture series that brought physics and biology a bit closer together. Writer Phil Ball has been discussing this series in Nature's Books and Arts section, and explains that the story started in Dublin, in Ireland.
Well, Schrödinger himself ended up in Dublin because he was essentially an exile fleeing from the Nazi occupation of Austria, his home country. So there he was in 1943, and he was required to give some public lectures. And he chose, probably to the surprise of some, to talk not about quantum physics, but about biology.
These biology lectures from a physicist were very well attended. The following year, they were published as a book. The title of both was What is Life? Safe to say then that Schrödinger wasn't interested in tackling easy questions. Schrödinger used the series to cast a physicist's eye over some of the core concepts of modern biology.
His key question was, what is it about life that makes it seem to be able to evade the second law of thermodynamics, this notion that things eventually end up in chaos and dissolution and randomness. So that was his key theme. And there were two aspects of that question that emerge in his lectures. And the first one that he spends most time on is how it is that organisms are able to stably inherit traits from the parent organisms, how they're passed down from generation to generation. Because if those traits are encoded in genes at the molecular level, physics tells you that they ought to be kind of submerged by the randomness, the chaotic motions that exist at that level. But then he asked, well, even if we understand that process of inheritance, how do those instructions that are encoded in the genes act out to guide the development of an organism? And there, he really didn't make much progress, but he made a very clear statement of that problem. And I think, you know, often that's a more valuable thing to do in science, to clearly articulate the problem.
In What is Life, Schrödinger has a lot of thoughts about genes and gene encoding molecules. But this was back in 1943, when it was still unclear what a gene actually was. At the time, Schrödinger and others thought that these molecules would probably be proteins. Of course, we now know genes are encoded in DNA, but while Schrödinger wasn't right on this one, he honed thoughts on how these molecules could be used to pass information from generation to generation.
What he said was that there must be something about these molecules that encode genes that remains stable. And he talked of the genes as being something like what he called an aperiodic crystal. And what he meant by that was it has a particular arrangement of atoms. So it's non-random, but it remains fixed. And somehow it encodes the information that genes carry and pass between generations.
It wasn't until 10 years later that Watson and Crick published their description of the double helical structure of DNA. But Schrödinger's description of a non-random code capable of storing information was inspiring to many, including Watson and Crick, who both said that What is Life motivated their work on genetics. But Schrödinger's What is Life wasn't without its critics.
There was some grumbling, and some said the biology in the book was actually a little bit out of date. And also his ideas about there being some kind of code that was somehow inscripted in molecules. There had been one or two biologists who had made similar suggestions, and one or two of whom were a little bit miffed that they or their colleagues weren't recognised. There was also grumbling later on in the 1980s. Max Perutz, who was one of the key people in understanding the structure of proteins, he rather dismissively said about the book that what was original in it wasn't particularly valuable, and what was particularly valuable in it wasn't particularly original.
But this is the response from some of the biologists at the time. 75 years on, we have a wealth of additional understanding of life and its interplay with physics. So what is the legacy of What is Life today? Here's Phil's take.
In retrospect, its value wasn't so much what Schrödinger said, but the way he said it, that he was able to bring disciplines together. He really highlighted the value of different disciplines talking to one another. I also think that in where Schrödinger was going, it's possible to see a sort of foreshadowing of some important themes that have emerged today, even if Schrödinger himself didn't recognize them. This question of information and what role information plays in biology is absolutely central. And it isn't as simple as saying, well, all the information is in the genes. Because it clearly isn't. For example, in terms of how genes are turned on and off, the science of epigenetics, by their environment and by what cells tell each other to do. You know, this is really one of the themes at the forefront of understanding biology today. So, you know, I see that as one of his key legacies, that we need to understand living organisms as self-organized systems that involve an interaction between information they contain and information that they receive from the environment.
That was writer Phil Ball. You can read his retrospective of What is Life over at nature.com/books-culture. Thanks to Benjamin Thompson for producing that interview.